Well, here we are in our Bible study segment. Ladies, if you have your Bibles, you can open them up to 1 Samuel. And our Bible study teacher, Beth Seifert, is here. Thanks for joining us, Beth.
Hey, Amy. Well, today we're going to see what's going on back in Shiloh after the Ark has been captured. So if you have your Bibles, go ahead and open to 1 Samuel chapter 4, verses 12 through 22. That same day, a Benjamite ran from the battle line and went to Shiloh, his clothes torn and dust on his head. When he arrived, there was Eli sitting on his chair by the side of the road, watching, because his heart feared for the Ark of God. When the man entered the town and told what had happened, the whole town sent up a cry. Eli heard the outcry and asked, "What is the meaning of this uproar?" The man hurried over to Eli, who was 98 years old and whose eyes were set so that he could not see. He told Eli, "I have just come from the battle line. I fled from it this very day." Eli asked, "What happened, my son?" The man who brought the news replied, "Israel fled before the Philistines, and the army has suffered heavy losses. Also, your two sons, Hophni and Phinehas, are dead, and the Ark of God has been captured." When he mentioned the Ark of God, Eli fell backward off his chair by the side of the gate. His neck was broken and he died, for he was an old man and heavy. He had led Israel 40 years. His daughter-in-law, the wife of Phinehas, was pregnant and near the time of delivery. When she heard the news that the Ark of God had been captured and that her father-in-law and her husband were dead, she went into labor and gave birth, but was overcome by her labor pains. As she was dying, the women attending her said, "Don't despair, you have given birth to a son." But she did not respond or pay any attention. She named the boy Ichabod, saying, "The glory has departed from Israel because of the capture of the Ark of God and the deaths of her father-in-law and her husband." She said, "The glory has departed from Israel, for the Ark of God has been captured." Well, here we are back in Shiloh as news of the battle reaches the town. Eli, a heavy-set old man now, is sitting by the gate waiting for news of God's Ark. Notice, he was concerned for the Ark of God, but nothing is mentioned about him being concerned for his sons. Eli knew that the battle being fought was not with God's favor, and he knew it was a mistake to bring the Ark to the battle, yet Eli didn't stop his sons from doing what they did. Once more, Eli's inaction was inaction that had devastating consequences. God knew that Eli would fail to act again, and he used that to deliver the judgment against Eli's family. The messenger comes into town, tells the town of the devastating loss of life and the loss of the Ark, and the whole town is horrified. The mourning for the devastating losses reaches Eli, and he asks what had happened. He then learns that, as God had told him, both of his sons have died and on the same day. But what sends Eli reeling, literally, is the knowledge that the Ark has been captured. Eli is old and heavy, and his weight carries him backward, and his neck breaks, and Eli dies on the same day as his sons. Eli's death marks an end of an era that started with Joshua and with the elders who helped Joshua lead Israel. Eli was unable to restrain Israel or his sons in their wickedness, and now his reign is done, and a new leader will need to be found. The description included regarding Phinehas' wife and newborn son is so interesting. God is reminding us of his promise that none of the men of Eli's line will live to an old age, and he's also showing his judgment on Eli's immediate family. Again, though, notice that it was a threefold hit for the wife. The Ark captured, her husband dead, her father-in-law and her brother-in-law dead, and it sends her into anguished labor. As she is dying in childbirth after having her son, she is mourning the loss of the glory of God from Israel because the Ark has been captured, as well as she is mourning the deaths of her husband, her brother-in-law, and of Eli. She even names her son Ichabod, which means no glory. Wow, God had promised that he would take away the glory that Phinehas and Hophni had withheld from him. And here we see the first son of Eli's line after their deaths being named No Glory. What this woman didn't understand, however, was that the true glory of Israel was not the ark. It was God himself. The ark did not constrain or hold God. Nothing could do that. But the people put so much of their trust in objects that they didn't understand that God was still there. He was still their glory. However, having said that, the loss of the ark was a reminder of the estrangement between God and his people that already existed, and it graphically showed the gravity of their error in thinking that, despite all their wickedness, they could coerce God into fighting for them simply by bringing the ark into battle. Now, today, we saw the end of Eli. Throughout the book of Samuel, we meet several people who are important to our own story, and one of them is Eli. Eli was a priest who didn't discipline or judge his children, but allowed them to go along in their lawless ways. He was dishonoring to God as a priest. We have a Savior who is prophet and priest and king, Jesus Christ. Just as we see how human Eli was as a priest, we will see how Jesus came and did administer discipline and correction and rebuke to his people, the Jews. They didn't want to hear it. They didn't accept it. And so they killed Jesus. Still, the contrast is striking. Eli as a priest is an utter failure. Jesus, as our holy priest, is the epitome of what a priest should be. As our high priest, Jesus gave all glory to his Father. Everything that he did was for the Father, to point back to the Father and to the promises that God had made with his people, so that they would see what those promises really meant. Jesus is our great high priest. He is the intermediary between us and God. He is the way that we are able to come before God, knowing that we are as filthy, that even our good deeds are as filthy rags, and being able to come before a holy God and know that we are forgiven, and know that he will see us as justified, that when he looks at us, he sees the blood of his Son covering a multitude of sins. That knowledge of who Christ is and how he intercedes for us, how he can draw near to God, means that we can draw near to him too. Tomorrow we will see what becomes of the ark and how God shows who is truly in control of all things. Even as we see the Israelites mourn the loss of their priest and of the ark. For today, though, consider this. How often do we react with the same attitude as Eli's sons? I'm a Christian, we say. I'm forgiven, so I can do what I want. God will forgive me. Do we honestly believe that? Would we honestly worship a God who would act that way, who would forgive us of whatever we do, even when we knowingly, willfully choose to go against him? That kind of a God wouldn't be worthy of our praise. He wouldn't be worthy of our worship. What does this say about our hearts? We need to continually remember that we need to be seeking God and his will in our lives, not seeking ways to try to use God for our own ends. God will not be used. If he allowed his ark to be captured by the Philistines when the Israelites tried to force God's hand, do we really think we can control him? He has amazing things planned for our lives, but we have to be ready to do things his way in order to find that out. Don't you want to see what he has in store for you? I want to see what he has in store for me. Perhaps it's time to let go of the reins that we cling to so tightly and let God reign in our lives. Remember, no matter what losses you're facing today, no matter what trials you have or the suffering that's in your life, you still have God. His glory still is with you. And you can be an instrument of his glory to show him to the world.
Well, thank you, Beth. And Beth's study guides, as well as the 10-minute podcasts of these presentations, are all available in our archives under the Bible Studies tab of our website, naomistable.com. Nancy and I will be back with more on this in just a moment.